Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, Merry Christmas and good morning. How are you guys doing? Awesome. Yeah. Hey, okay. We got people excited here. It's Christmas, right? Yes. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Very cool. Hey, if you're a guest here, I just want to let you know, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have family in town as well. I think we've got some family. Hey, we do, right up front. Yes, my in-laws are right here. Can we give them a hand? Can we do that? So good. If you follow me on Instagram, it was Tim. He was trying to do a pull-up. It's so much fun. He did it, right? He did not. Anyways, but it was great. So good to have you guys here. Let me start by asking you something. First of all, what are you doing Christmas Eve, sir? Christmas Eve? Because we got services, people. We got services at Metro, 4:30 and 6. Invite friends, bring your family. I'm pretty pumped because it's our first one. We've never done it at Metro at the Plaza Midwood area. And so we just thought, man, God's opened up that space for us and a place for us, and even just that demographic. And so we'd love to just see what God is going to do using us and just creating an opportunity to provide a place and a moment for God for people to meet God. So it's going to be powerful. It's going to be a candlelight service. So it's going to be pretty, pretty epic. It's going to be great. And my son is going to be playing guitar. I mean, seriously, I know I should not say that, but I'm saying it because I taught him every single thing that he does not know. I taught him. Yes. So I'm so pumped about that. Make sure you come to that. This morning, though, I want to talk to you about, it's kind of sort of part one to a two-part conversation about Christmas. But let's just start with this. Any Marvel movie fans out there? Okay. So I just got done seeing Venom. Okay, well, what happened? What happened with that? Yeah, some of you guys are like, is this your pastor? He's seeing satanic movies? What? Venom? He's bringing on a snake? What's going on? There will be no snakes. But it's a Marvel deal, and I think they went a different direction. I don't know. I don't know if I like it or not. But I do like Marvel movies. One of my highlights was several years ago, I was speaking at a place called Hawaii. I know, it's nice when you got asked to go there, but I was like, yes, I'll go. I was speaking there at YWAM. It's a missions organizations, anyways, their event. And I happened to just meet some people there, a lot of different people. But I met the stuntman for Captain America. And so when he told me, I was like, he was like just playing it cool. I'm like, hey, so what do you do? And he's like, I do stunt work. I'm like, oh, stunt work, cool. Okay, what kind of stunt work? He's like, well, movies and... I'm like, okay, like for who? I'm like, I'm always wanting to know, like, are you legit? Or are you just like, right. So I don't know. So he was like, yeah, for Captain America. I'm like, the Captain America? He was like, yeah, Captain America. And then he said, Deadpool. And I said, I didn't want to let him know that I had watched Deadpool because I'm a pastor, and Deadpool is rated R. And I was like, what is this thing you call the Deadpool? What is this thing? And he was like, okay. And besides, anybody can play Deadpool because he's got a mask on. Okay. So then he showed me footage of the scenes in Captain America, the most recent one. And he's it. He is him. He is him. He's doing all the stunt work. Amazing. And so I'm like, how did we not see this in the movie? And what's interesting about it is that obviously, I mean, there's a lot of technology involved in that, but there's also something that's connected to how we are wired up and how our eyes are wired up. So when you have a visual experience, when you look at something, and if you're looking at me or you're looking at other people or you're looking at the screen, which most of you just end up doing, not looking at me, which is cool. Hi. But if you're doing that, 80% of what you are experiencing, your mind is making up. 20% is actually what you're looking at, because your mind just fills in the gaps. Your eyes are actually pretty lazy. I don't know why they stop working, but they're pretty lazy. They're like, you'll have an experience. That's why you can coast and go somewhere and not even remember what you saw. That's why you can look through a person at something else, because your mind just is more occupied with something else. Have you ever looked in a person in the middle of a conversation and thought, they're not even listening to me. They are not even here, right? We have an expression for that, right? What is it? The eyes have what? Glazed over. It actually happens. Your retina actually moves when there is a difference in what it is seeing. So when you, like, for example, if I wave something in front of your eyes and move it around and you're actually looking at it, your retina will respond. But if you're imagining something, if you're actually seeing something else while your eyes are open, like, you know, if the sermon is really boring, you're like, you start thinking of other things, right? You start seeing something, your retina does not move. I could walk around it. It does not move. Because your eyes only see what your mind is ready to comprehend, or what your mind wants to know. So there's a French guy a long time ago, a philosopher, and he said this. He actually said, the eye only sees when the mind is ready to comprehend. The eye only sees what the mind is ready to comprehend. But he didn't know the science behind it, and now we do. It's really true. Why is this all important? You're like, who cares? Well, the reason why I think it's so important, especially in light of the Christmas story, is because there's so many of us, if you were just being honest, there is an area of your life, or maybe even right now, you just don't see God in it. You don't see God. You just don't see him. I don't know if he's in here. And there are some of you who've believed this so much, because when you look at your finances, you go, I don't see God in that. I don't see God in this relationship. I don't see God in this. I don't see God in 2019. I don't see God moving. I don't see God that this past year. I look back and I'm like, I'm trying to have a good attitude about it, but I don't see God. Could it be possible that your mind has actually made up 80% of what you've experienced? That he could be in the midst of you, and he was working in the midst of you, but you just didn't see it because you only saw 20%. Because at some point, something happened. At some point, some disappointment just kind of latched on to you for so long that it became part of your narrative, part of your story. And so it just tells you that story, and it just makes you see what you want to see. Could it be possible that God's in the midst of what's happening to you right now, and you just don't see him? I think it's so important, because maybe it's not you, but I know there are people around you. And honestly, I think there is in this season. There's a sense that we think that we're all alone. Because you don't see God in your pain and you believe this. You're all alone. Now, I've had several conversations with atheists, and I love having dialogues and just being friends with people who just don't believe what I believe. And the atheists, you know, I enjoy them. It's interesting, because I don't know if they're a true atheist. You know, people just say, I'm an atheist. And what they're really saying is like, I don't believe in this whole Jesus thing, and I don't believe in this Islam thing or Hinduism. I don't believe in religion. And honestly, there might be a creator. Most believe, like, there's some energy that's behind all of this. But then there are extreme atheists that just believe that there's nothing. There's, like, everything is just coincidence, and you're all alone in this world. And I think that's the atheist that I think has has no life, has no joy. Because when you believe that there's nothing and you're all alone, then guess what? You're all alone in this pain. You're all alone in this joy. You're all alone in this pleasure. You're all alone in this this stress in your life. You're just all alone. There is no joy and there's no sorrow. There's nothing. Because you'll die alone, you know, and you're born alone, and there's no really connection to anything. You'll be insignificant. And who wants to believe that, right? Who wants to believe that? But some of us, if you're honest, because of what has happened to you and what is seemingly happening to you, you have believed the biggest lie out there, that you are all alone. You're left to your pain. You're left to your sorrow. You're left to your despair. You are left all alone. Isn't it true that sometimes we feel that? But Christmas reminds us that we're not alone. And in fact, Christmas reminds us that we've never been alone. Did you know you've never experienced being alone? You're like, what? No. You've never been. There hasn't been ever a moment that you have been all alone. That's why we're calling this series, this conversation, Emmanuel, which means God with us. It is such a profound thought because it kind of separates the Jesus thought of who God is from all the other religions out there. This idea that God is with us. But man, it's so hard, right? It's so hard to believe it, even when God's doing something in your life. Like, so there's an incident that the Christmas story starts with God sending an angel to a guy, and he happens to be the uncle of Jesus, right? Yeah, and he's in the story. He becomes the father of John the Baptist. And the angel goes to him and he says, this guy's name is Zechariah. He's a priest, so he works for the church. I mean, this guy's a pretty spiritual guy. And an angel shows up and he tells him, hey, by the way, God's doing a thing. Your wife, I know she's older. I get it. But she is going to have a baby. You're going to name him John. Okay, let me just read this to you. This is what he says to him. He tells him something that's so profound. And just imagine yourself, okay? You have this experience. I don't know how it looked like. It probably wasn't a dream. It doesn't say here. But Luke chapter 1, 14, it says, and he says, the angel is talking, right? He says, he's talking about John. He's like, he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine. Can't do it. Okay? Or vodka. Just put that in there. Okay? Okay? He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. So, just the context of it. This is a Jewish guy. He understands Jewish history. He understands this idea of God's promises to Israel. And so this angel comes to him and tells him, hey, your wife is going to get pregnant. Like, this is going to happen, and this guy's going to prepare the way. This is what he's going to do. He's going to be important. He's going to bring so much joy. He's going to reconcile people. He's going to play a significant part in human history. And if you know the story, Zechariah goes, seriously? I don't think so. He basically says, I don't know if you realize how old my wife is. That's pretty much what he says, okay, which is not a good thing. And this is the response of the angel. Now, I don't know if you've ever read this. You probably have never read this with this tone. But just suppose that this angel, by the way, he's Gabriel, big guy. I mean, he's a big shot. He's not like a random name dude, okay, random angel. No, he is Gabe. He is the guy, right? They've made movies about him. I mean, like, seriously. Okay, it's Gabriel. He starts talking. The angel. This is what he starts off. He says, I'm Gabriel. Like, when an angel has to introduce himself to you, you know he's mad. Like, usually angels don't have to. You're like, oh my gosh. He's like, I'm Gabriel. And, oh yeah, and I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Like, I stand in the presence of God Almighty. And I don't even know why I'm coming to you. But I'm going to come to you and tell you this good news. This is the good news. Like, he's still ticked off. I'll tell you why he's ticked off. Because right after that, he says this. And now, you, will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. Oh, yeah, I'm mad. Oh, I'm an angel, Gabriel. Here's my card. Oh, you can't talk? Yeah, that's because of me. Am I mad? No. What? I didn't hear you. What? Oh, okay. And this is why. Because what? Because you did not what? You didn't believe my words. Okay, let's just stop right here. Could you imagine when Gabriel had to go back and talk to God about this? How'd it go? Whatever, went good. You know I know everything, right? Yeah, I saw that. Saw what? You did it again, Gabriel. You got ticked off again. I send you this message. You know humans. I know. But no, I don't get it. Why do they not listen? I don't know why they don't listen. But you can't just shut their mouth forever. Like, that's, you can't do that. He's like, yeah, but they don't listen ever. I show up. I have to actually say my name. You know how embarrassing that is? Everybody in heaven knows me. But I gotta be like, I'm Gabriel. Oh, yeah, the Gabriel. Okay, yes, I got mad. Don't you get mad? Now, let's just stop. Wouldn't we like to have that power? How many of you would like that power? Wouldn't you want that for Christmas? Oh, yeah. I can silence you. Parenting will be a new level. I don't need to ground you. You're silenced. Oh, I can't hear you. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's awesome. Wouldn't that be awesome? People you work with? You can't talk till this project is over. Okay. It's awesome. It's great. I get it, because the guy is like, hey, so I'm a priest. Zechariah, I've been doing this for, you know, all my life, but the truth is that if you just go back a little bit from the Old Testament, because this is New Testament times, 400 years have passed. So yeah, I mean, I'm having a hard time believing that now God is talking. Like, you haven't been visiting us. You see, back in the day, they sent prophets. But then then it's just stopped. It stopped and stopped until generations passed. And so Zechariah's like, I'm sorry, it's been a long time since God ever did anything. I don't even think he's doing anything. Right? Mary's response is a little different. Did you see Mary's response? You read that? Let me read you Mary's response. Mary's response is in Luke chapter 1, verse 31. So the angel goes to her. He says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Mary responds, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Seriously? Right? She's like, yes, let's do this. Whatever you want. I don't know if I identify with Mary. I think I identify with Zechariah. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. Because if God it doesn't show up for a long time, and it just, you know, like a phone that keeps on ringing, it does not end, and God doesn't show up. Or pick up, but sorry. But focus. Okay, I gotta focus. But you know, it's been 400 years, right? It's been 400 years. And have you ever had like a prayer that you've prayed? It felt like 400 years, but nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. And so what was happening in their time? Well, what happened is that they heard stories of how great God is. 400 years passed. Nothing had happened. Nothing had happened. And then the testimonies of what God did turn into legends, and legends turn into myths. And they were like, okay, well, yeah, back in the day, and yeah, sure. And then people stopped even looking for a sign. They stopped. one of the reasons why they could not recognize Jesus in the flesh when he walked among them is because they stopped looking for him. If you read the scriptures, every time he did a miracle, they thought he was Elijah. Like they actually went back in the day and they're like, oh, maybe he's Elijah. Maybe he's some, like they always went in the past. They weren't looking for the new. They never went, oh, I think he's the Messiah. No, they're always like back in the day. He had to tell them, hey, I'm the one. I'm the one. Remember? I'm the guy. Because human nature is like that. When God apparently does not show up for 400 years, we take testimonies and what's truth and make it into legends, and we don't think it's true anymore. And we just stop looking. For some of us, you just stop praying about something, which you should continue to. You stop looking because you don't want to look anymore, because you don't see it. Because in your mind has already told you, this is not going to work. And so when God actually literally shows up, you're not going to see him. Because if there was any sin for the people, of the spiritual people that were surrounding Jesus at that time, is that God was in their midst and they didn't recognize him. And they actually crucified him. Could it be possible that God is in you, in your life, and you just don't even recognize it? I think that's human nature, isn't it? And some of you believe that, and it can happen to the best of us. For example, have you ever heard the expression, there's nothing new under the sun? Anybody? You've heard that, right? Do you know where you got that from? Anybody? Yes, you got it from the Bible, right? You got it from the Bible. So, and anybody for extra credit, I know school's out, but extra credit, who said it?
Solomon.
It's the same person. Okay, stop saying. Okay. You win. Okay, you win. Okay. All right. So Solomon says it. And so now we believe, because Solomon was a wisest man, we believe that that's actually true. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there? Is it true? Because here's what we do sometimes. We take everything that the scriptures say, right? Even if when they're describing someone's mood, and we think it's true. He was just having a very bad day. Because if you read in context what he's saying, he actually says, this all stinks. Life stinks. It's all chasing the wind. It's hopeless. I want to die. Why don't we quote that? We just quote something because it resonates with our mind. When we look and we go, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. You know who says stuff like that? People who are not creative or innovative. People who are not entrepreneurs. People who are not thinking about maybe there's more out there. The people who want to explore, they don't think that. They go, no, there's got to be. There's more stuff to invent. There's more stuff to do. There's so much more. But people who say there's nothing new under the sun are not doing much research at all because they are no longer wanting to see because their mind has already told them what is real. So there's nothing new under the sun. And it's so sad for me that Christians believe that because it's written in the Bible. You know what's also written in the Bible? And he went and hung himself. That's also written in the Bible. You know what else is written in the Bible? Go and do likewise. That's also, does that make sense? Like, we can't take the Bible out of context. You can't take it out of context. So, what do we know? Is there? Yes, there is. Did you know in 2017 alone, we discovered 85 new plants and animal species just in 2017. We think there's nothing new under the sun. It's just because we don't see it. One scientist says this. Says they estimate that about 90% of species have yet to be discovered. I'm sorry, what? Did you get that wrong? Oh, I thought we discovered everything. No. They actually say that many will go extinct before we know they even exist. Because we have not We don't have enough time to discover them. Let me blow your mind one more way. This has been messing me up for a couple of weeks now. So we have a star, right? It's called the sun. Yes, it's the sun. It's a star. We are in a galaxy, right? We're in the what galaxy? Anybody know? Milky Way galaxy. Yes, we're in the Milky Way galaxy. So we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and in the galaxy, there's a lot of stars out there. There's a lot of stars in a galaxy. So in the Milky Way galaxy, there are about, they estimate, 100, let's get this right, 100, if those of you who do math, I don't figure it out, 100,000 million. 100, what? 1,000 million stars in the Milky Way galaxy. 100,000 million. How many zeros is that? I don't even know. Don't care. How many galaxies are there? 10 million that we know of. There's nothing new under the sun? So when we hear this Christmas story about a God who created all of this, and when he said, let there be light, and we know from our minute wisdom, we know that there's still things happening. Like, creation is still going on. When he said, let there be light, he said it, and it's still going on. He rested. No. It's still happening. How do I even get that? How do you figure out how this works? How do you take the Genesis account? I don't even know. But I can't even comprehend 100,000 million times 10 million. That's like saying, the Milky Way galaxy, that's like saying that if the sun represents a grain of salt, a grain of sand, all the sand in the U.S. would be the galaxy. And there are 10 million, what? Let me read you this. I don't know if you've, this, it'll blow your mind. Colossians 1. The sun, not the sun as in galaxy sun, no, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I don't even know what that means. For in him all things were, what? All things. The 100,000 million, I don't even get it. All things, things in heaven and on earth, visible, and you're telling me there's invisible things? You're just crazy now. What? Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things and what? In what? What do you mean in him? We are in, what are we in? We're in him. And in him, all things hold together. What do you mean? I thought I was all alone. And he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. I don't even know what that means. So that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What? I don't even know. You know why I can't see it? Because my mind can't comprehend it. I don't even get it. All I get is the biggest lie out there is you are all alone. You're not. You've never been alone. You don't even know what it feels like. Well, no, I do. You don't even know what it feels like. You're part of him. You've always been a part of him. There's a God DNA. The reason why you actually have life is because of him. Him. It's because of him. What's Jesus' last name? Someone would say Christ. People would. I thought so. I grew up Muslim. I come and was like, oh, Jesus, what's his last name? Christ. Okay, got it. Jesus Christ. Mr. Christ. Okay. Do you know that we're fascinated with Jesus? But Jesus is just the, based on scripture, is he's the human expression of the supremacy and the fullness of God. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's all Christ. The reason why we have to honor everything, living thing, is because in him and through him, not human Jesus, Christ, the anointed one, Christ, he came into this world. Here's what John says. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Man, I'm blown away with this fact. John 1, verses 9 through 12 says this, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world, what? Didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Man, it is fascinating to me that we have believed the lie that God is not with you, that you are all alone. There are things you have to stop believing as you go into 2019 because your mind's filling in the gap. You are not alone. And there are things you do that you should just stop doing. How many of you actually do or know someone who knocks on wood? Anybody? Knocks on wood. You knock on wood? Okay, how many just knock on wood? You knock on wood. You knock on wood, man. You knock on wood. You knock on wood. Okay. Okay, so again, I grew up in a different culture, came here as a teenager, you know, in the 90s, and I was like, what is this thing called knock on wood? What are we doing this? What are we doing here? Because I would talk to people mid-conversation. They're like, you know what? Everything is going amazing. I just could buy a new car. Knock on wood. I was like, did that just happen? Why are we doing that? I mean, we throw salt, but I mean, that's not in every conversation. I mean, who has salt? Hold on 1 second. No, wait. What? Why do we knock on wood? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone? They say that something good has happened. They say knock on wood, but they can't find wood, and they freak out. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. It is the funniest thing, especially if they like super believe it. They're like, knock on wood. Oh, I said wood. Where is wood? There's nothing. There's no wood. They just look. They're like, oh God, I can't find my wood. Ah, knock, I gotta walk. Because they believe that if you say it and you don't kind of end the connection, it messes up, right? This universe is like, what do we do? What's going on? God's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. They didn't knock on wood. They didn't knock on wood. That's not even technically wood. That's man-made. I don't even know what that is. Pharmaica. I don't even know. What is that? I don't know. Just you gotta knock on wood. Why do you knock on wood? Oh, let me just tell you. You know where that came from? That comes from an old belief, okay, that spirits, powerful spirits, lived in a particular kind of tree, wood, and so back in the day, they would knock on the wood of the tree to summon the spirits to help them. Yeah, buddy, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. That's what you do. Bible in hand, knock on wood. I got my Bible, knock on wood. That's what you do. You're summoning a spirit to help you. Let me give you another symbol. Catholics use this, and some other expressions of the faith as well. And you've seen this before. And you probably, not made fun of it, but you kind of go, oh, I've heard it. And it's when people make a cross. They go from their forehead to down here, and then they cross their heart right to left or left to right, depending on their expression of their faith. They do that. And we go, what is that? That's actually symbolic of this idea that God is with us and the fullness of God resides in us, that we are committed fully to him and he's committed fully to us. You see, I've been reading some of the teachings of this Franciscan monk, and it's so profound, some of the thoughts. Like, for example, this idea of Christmas, it's actually called also the Feast of Incarnation. Did you know that? It's the season where Jesus' followers stop and go, this is the season that we acknowledge that there was an incarnation that took place. And we celebrate, we feast, we give gifts to celebrate that this is the moment where God became man. That he was born into us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And not just with us, but God is for us and he's in us. And so the expression that if we could possibly walk away from this whole knocking on wood, maybe the expression that needs to be come to light again is this idea that some powerful expressions of our Christian faith, they believe that there is this God who embodies us and we embody him. And so when they point to their head, they're basically saying, this is God for me, I call him Father. This is God with me, I call him Son. This is God in me, I call him Spirit. That's what they're saying. Man, when I first read this, I stopped and I went, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm not even Catholic. I'm not saying you should do this, but I needed to do this for my soul. I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. I'm not knocking on wood. I'm doing this. I need a physical, and there are moments I will just do this on my own. I'm like, God, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that I am committed to you, but you are committed to me. Like, you're not just for me, but you're not just with me, you are inside of me, and I am inside of you. I mean, that is mind-boggling, right? And I don't even understand that, but I don't need to, because if I wait till my mind understands so I can see God, I will never see him. Never see him. One theologian said, you know, he suggested this, and I think it's profound. He says, we should stop using the word God to describe God. Because now we live in generations that we actually understand what God is. Like, we have borders and edges on that definition, right? You're like, your God, my God, whose God, is God, 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 this God, big G. Like, we've got expressions of that. And this guy suggested we should just say the great mystery. We just say the great mystery. And he actually proposed that we say it for 50 years. And see what a generation will do with that, the great mystery. Like, there is infinite, infinite things we just do not know. So could it be possible that you are not alone in your pain? Could it be possible that your situation is not hopeless and helpless? Could it be possible that there's more going on in you, around you, and for you? Could it be possible that you're missing. You're missing seeing God while you're celebrating Christmas. Man, he became one of us. That's so profound to me. So I acknowledge my in-laws. They're going to be here, and they're going to spend some time with us. And then I've got my side of the family coming as well. And so when my side of the family comes, then when I say my side, just so you know, all the brown people, okay? All the brown people are going to come. And we're not going to have a white Christmas. We're going to have a brown Christmas, okay? So that's going to happen. And so it's always fun because I get to spend time with them. And after I've spent about 5 or 6 days with them, Ashley will have the smile on her face because she's like, oh, you sound different now. I'm like, whatever. And I do. The reason is because I switch to speaking Urdu, which is my native language, and then we throw in a little bit Arabic in there, throw in a little bit English, some Bollywood phrases in there. We got a whole mix of things. And so my accent comes back, right? Shalini, can you attest to that? Yes, so she's Indian. She understands that. So we just start getting, I don't know what it is. I just start saying stuff, right? Start saying stuff. And it's because when you spend time with people you love and you spend time with people you just identify with, you just become kind of like them, right? Isn't it true? You pick up stuff. Like, you've been married to this person. Guess what? You end up actually dressing the same. Some of you guys have come coordinated. You are not coordinated. You just realize it when I pointed it out. You're like, what? Are you serious? You're wearing my stuff again. No, it's not. You're buying the same stuff because when you spend time with people, you can't pick up their stuff. You hang out with friends. You start dressing like them. You like their music. You just become like them. And that's why people say, you know, you become what you love. You become what you love. And then some people say you become who you love. Like whoever you identify, you become like them. You want to be like them. Now, let me just stop right here. If that's even half true, then what do you do with this idea that God loved us so much he became human? He was like, I need to let them know that I'm with them. So if you become what I love, if you become who you love, then I'm going to become one of them. And I'm just not going to walk up all adult. No, I'm going to be born. And I'm going to let them care for me and raise me up. I mean, can you even imagine that? Are you serious? Even Mary going, so I'm feeding... Why? How could God be so helpless that needed us? Like, what is he trying to tell us? Could it be just one of the things? He is Emmanuel, God with us. Which, by the way, no other religious teacher, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, none of them ever claimed that they were God. They're always pointed there. Jesus is the only one that says, oh, it's me. And that's why, because we could not understand it, we could not see it, and so we crucified him. And we said, that's blasphemy. And he's like, no, it's not. It's Emmanuel, God with you. I am, and it's not just, it's not one of us. It's this Trinity. Like there's a Father, Son, Spirit. There's an expression. There's stuff going on you don't even know. So. Just so you know, you are not alone in your pain. You are not alone in your despair. You're not alone in your sickness. You're not alone in this relationship. You are not alone. You've never been alone. You've never been alone. You have no idea what it looks like. And I know you don't see it because you can't comprehend it. Could it be possible that this season, this Christmas, he just wants to tell you, hey, it's not Christmas. It's the point when you realize there was an incarnation that took place. It's a sign. It's a sign. And what do we find? This is the sign we find. Let me read this to you. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." I mean, I don't even know how to comprehend this. But all I know is, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And let me pray for us. Lord God, this morning we acknowledge that we just don't know anything. Compared to all the things we don't know, it feels like I know nothing. You are the great mystery. I don't even understand how and why. I love God when David looked up in the sky and he said, "When I look at the moon and the stars that you've ordained, what you've created, what is man? What is mankind that you care, that you would care so much for us?" God, I don't even begin to comprehend why you would care so much, why your love is unfailing. But God, we need to sit in that this morning. So God, I pray, would you bother us with this truth? Would you remind us you are with us? And we celebrate that. We celebrate the feast of incarnation, that you became flesh and dwelt among us. God, we love you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.